Now, let's see if I can get one past you kids right here. I'm going to read a definition to you, and I want to see if any of you can figure out what this definition, what word goes with this. I know the high schoolers love to have vocabulary tests in class, and I want to see if they can get this vocabulary. It's actually a very simple word, but the definition goes like this. Servants of a household, including not only the servants, but also the head of the household and all persons in it, related to him by blood or marriage. Does anybody know what that is? I'll give you one more shot at it. Servants of a household, including not only the servants, but also the head of the household and all persons in it related to him by blood or marriage. Does anybody know what that might be? Let me give you definition number two. A group of persons of common ancestry. Do you know what that might be? Now, there's two, this same word, two different definitions. Does anybody have an idea? I'm not going to put anybody on the spot, but does anybody have the idea? Don't say anything because I've already talked to you about what I was supposed to be preaching tonight. Brian, family. Now I want you to understand something about this. I want you to listen to it again, knowing the word. Family is servants of a household, including not only the servants, but also the head of the household. Think about that for a minute. And all, A-L-L, persons in it, related to him by blood or marriage. I'm going to tell you right now, I believe I have a message tonight. I love my family. Amen. I love my family. Amen. Let's all stand. I want to take you to a scripture. In Ephesians chapter 3, I'm going to read to you the only passage in the entire New Testament that has the word family in it. And I want you to see this. In Ephesians chapter 3, starting in verse 14, the Bible says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church, by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." Let's pray. Dear Lord, I'm begging you tonight to be with these people. I'm begging you tonight to be with these people in a special way and give themselves a new look at what you mean to them, what they mean to you, and what we ought to mean to each other. Give us a whole new feeling of that tonight, Lord, please. Help the grieving ones. Help the mourning ones. Lord, you're the God of all comfort. Lord, lend us some tonight. And Lord, please, as always my prayer before I preach, let me decrease and let you increase to everything tonight. And I pray that in Jesus' name, amen. I am thrilled to submit to you tonight the definition of family starts out with the word servants. And I'm not talking about a servant the way a husband that's a real dog thinks his wife ought to be his servant. I'm not talking about obedient children that ought to be servants to their parents. I'm not talking about that. But what I am talking about is a family that ought to act one to another as servants for each other. Let me help you. I want to be a servant for my family. I want them to know that I love them. I want them to know that I'm going to be there for them. I want them to know that I am willing to offer my life to serve them. I think you ought to be willing as people, and I'm not talking any specific person or wife or husband or daughter or son. I think you should look at your family in a whole new light tonight, is one that it goes right with this definition, that you are to be servants one to another. Including not only the servants, but also the head of the household. In my household, I am deemed the head of the household. Not because I deserve it, because the Lord made it that way. Man, I really would to God that we could get a hold of that. We don't deserve to be the head of our household. We are given it by God, and God gives us that responsibility, and a great one it is. We ought to be willing to serve, not only as the head of the household, but all persons in it, relating to me by blood or by marriage, either my wife or my children, they relate to me. They ought to want to be my servant. I ought to want to be their servant. It's a new look on family tonight. Now, the definition of family, again, the word is only found one time in Ephesians. I thank God for my family. I thank God for the family that the Lord has blessed me with, my daughters and my son. I thank God for them. I know that our family certainly isn't perfect. I'm so thankful that yours is, but my family is not perfect. I know that my family makes mistakes along the way. I understand that I make a lot of mistakes. I understand that the majority of the people in this room are mistake-ridden people. But there's one common thing that I want to share with you tonight. This definition just doesn't fulfill my family. This definition fulfills our family. Did you know that you're a part of a family tonight? I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. You come to church, and let me tell you something. I didn't look at the family this way until just this week. Do you realize we call each other brother? I have Brother Rod. Pastor Skyver, you can't call him brother. He's head of the household. He might take you out behind the woodshed. Brother Andrew. Brother Bob, Mr. Bevington. He's one of my heroes. Amen. I can't call him enough good names.
Amen.
Brother Carl. Brother Bob. You know, I often thought that was a title of honor. But you know what? It's more than that. Would you please hear me tonight? I consider Brian my brother.
Amen.
Not just in, we're not blood related, except we're blood related.
Right. Right.
Amen. Right. Amen. See, what you got to understand is this. And let me, the reason I'm preaching you this tonight is because I believe that if we could get this concept of family put down in our hearts about our church people, I believe it would change your mind about a lot of people. Please hear me tonight. I believe it would change your hearts about people that might surround you that maybe you don't get along so well with. Does anybody have anybody in their family that you just don't talk about? I'm loaded with them. But understand this. And I was talking to a young man 2 days ago. And this young man said to me this. I don't like my dad much. I don't like him that much, and we've never really been on common ground. However, I can say things about him this way, but don't you dare say anything about him yourself. Because that's my dad. See, there's a line that you cross when it comes to family.
Right.
There's a line that you cross where you can say things about your family, but bless God, you better not say anything. You better not say anything about my family. If I say something, it's one thing, but if you say something, it's a completely different story. I got news for you. I dare you to try it. Come say something to me about my wife. I want you to. Well, she's not perfect. Neither am I. And if you have a mirror, you'd find out you're not either.
Amen.
Come say something to me about my children. They're not perfect either. Brats, majority of the time. But understand this. They're my kids, and I love my kids.
Amen.
Well, that leads me to think. Bob's my brother.
Right.
you better not say anything about my brother. Listen to me. You better, is this your family? Is this your family tonight? Are you sitting in the midst of loved ones tonight? Are you sitting in the midst of your family? Family, people that care about each other and love one another. Don't say anything to me about Bob. He's my brother. I think it would change our attitudes a lot if we would realize how much our family loves us and how much our family cares for us, about how much our family would go. I've got news for you. If I could give my left arm to keep my children alive, I would give my left arm. Whatever it would take, I would give to make sure my family survived. How do you feel about your family that's in this room tonight? The question comes to me. Well, how do I know they're my family? I read a beautiful scripture to you from Ephesians. In verse 14, in 3, it says, "For this cause I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." Do you know what family that is? That's Christians.
Yeah.
We're named after the Father.
Right.
He has literally called Christians, you and I, and we are family. Our name has changed. We changed our last names, and now we are related to Him by blood.
Yes.
The blood that was shed by Him on that cross at Calvary has made us brothers and sisters in Christ, joint heirs with the Savior.
Yes.
I am so thankful for that. I'm so thankful that I don't have to live another day being alone. I don't have to live another day without a family to come to. What's funny to me is this. We come to this place every day and act like everything's okay. Let me tell you something, folks. We are your family. If something's not okay, glory to God, please come and tell us about it. We're your family. And family's got to look out for each other. Family's got to care about each other. And I'm not talking about the care that you only get on Sunday mornings between the hours of 10:30 and 11:30. I'm talking about what you get all week long because your church people care about you and love you.
Yes.
I'm thankful to be part of Bethel Baptist Church because I really believe with all my heart we do care.
Amen.
But I want to take you one step further tonight. I want to make you family members. I didn't have any of this planned. This is good stuff. I'm okay, way off my paper now. This is good stuff.
Amen.
When you become a family member, it's awesome that you get this inheritance. But what's sad is I have the opportunity to preach funeral after funeral. The fight at the end is always over the inheritance. The fight is always, well, he said, she said, well, bless God, he's going to get the house, she's going to get the cars, I'm getting my nose snubbed here, I want mine, I want mine, I want mine. You know what's great about our inheritance? We're all getting the same thing.
Amen.
There's no fighting. We're not going to have to call an auctioneer. We're not going to have to go through probate.
Yeah.
When we get our, well, yeah, probate, everyone's going, yeah.
We're going through probate.
I'm going to tell you right now, you are joining the family of God, and when you get to heaven, your inheritance is going to be just like mine. There'll be no squabbling there. Glory to God. There'll be no more pain, no more suffering, no more tears, no heartaches, no goodbye. And glory to God, are you willing to spend eternity with that person that you don't like so much?
Yeah. Well, I live right next door.
I think we better get to the business of getting along now.
Yeah, amen.
Because we got an eternity to work this out.
Yeah.
I thank God for Bethel Baptist Church.
Amen.
And I'm not saying that because I get to be your associate pastor. I came here a long, long time ago. And I can't believe this is where I am. I honestly can't. The Lord had to do everything because I'm so worthless. And you don't have to agree with me. I'm waiting for them. Yeah, you're right. But it's not that I'm happy that I've got this position that the Lord's given me. What I'm happy about is the people that I get to have this position with. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that these people love each other here. You can be proud of that. That doesn't happen everywhere. It doesn't happen everywhere that Andrew has a problem and it can be taken care of by his family. And I'm not talking about people that look down their nose at somebody and say, well, bless God, I'll help you because I got money and you don't because you're a dirty, rotten rat. I'm talking about family.
Yeah.
I'm talking about, I know that if I had somebody in my family that I didn't like to talk about, but if they was in trouble, I'd do my best to come and help. That's the kind of family that we have here at Bethel Baptist Church. That's the kind of family I'm excited to have. Turn to Galatians 6:10. These are all real close to each other. Verse 7 says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be wearying in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of our family." The household of faith. Let me tell you something. You in this church are so fortunate that we have a church that wants to do that. We desire to do great things for each other. We love the fact that we have opportunities to serve the household of faith. I'm telling you right now, if Brother Carl's windy, narrow driveway needed shoveling, I would love to have my shovel out there shoveling his driveway because I want to do something for Carl. I would love to do something for him because he's of the household of faith. He's my brother. And if I could help him, I certainly want to do that. You're lucky, Bethel Baptist Church. You get to be in a place where we consider each other family. Don't ever lose that. Yes. Don't ever lose family. Right. Turn to another scripture quickly. Ephesians chapter 2 again. Back to Ephesians chapter 2. Starting in verse 19, "Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and your family," the household of God. "And we are built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being our daddy." I'm so excited that I get to be part of that wonderful family. I'm so excited that I can call Liz White. I'm so excited that I can call Mert. I'm so excited. Find somebody quick. No, I'm so excited that you get to be related to me. I'm so excited that I've got such a wonderful family. What? I mean, I'm telling you right now, can you even imagine what kind of reunion Bethel Baptist Church is going to have when we get to heaven together? Can you imagine her having a glorified giggle? Woo! It might take her an eternity to quiet down. I am so excited about family. If I'm to understand this correctly, the people that are in this room with me right now and the ones that didn't come tonight are my family. They are related to me. They're of the household of faith, household of God, related to me by blood and by marriage for that matter, because we get to be married and we're the bride of Christ. Family has six things, and I'm going to try to do these quick. It's 10 till 7. I'll just say the announcements went long, though. A family has six things, and there's more than this, but these are the six that I thought were tremendous. A family has love. Now, it's not necessarily perfect love, but it's always unconditional. And it's always to a place that no matter where I am or no matter where you are, we still can say, "I love you." Yes. Now, if you're sitting in the chair saying, "Well, I don't think I can look at everybody in this room and say that," well, then you've got to join the family. Because no matter what, I can love my family. Yes. No matter how bad it gets, no matter how good it gets, I can say that I love my family. Yes. I want you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, and we're going to turn to some scripture tonight. I hope you don't get bored, but I think scripture does great preaching. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18, the Bible says, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of your family. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Family, we've got a job to do. We've got to love each other fervently. How in the world can you love each other fervently? Fervent love, in my opinion, is love that has no bounds.
Yeah.
In other words, you can't put restrictions on how much I love you. Think about that for a minute. You can't do anything bad enough, because I've got fervent love. And if you have fervent love for the people that are sitting in this room right now, I promise you, the fervent love will be given right back to you. You say, well, Brother Dave, I don't know if I can do that. The person that's sitting in this room really, really bothers me whether you don't have fervent love. Because if you're saved, and how many are saved in here today? Can you raise your hands real big and tall? Then, man, you're part of the brethren. And if you're part of the brethren, it says to love each other with an unfeigned heart, fervently, fervently, fervently. That means on fire for each other. That means on fire for wanting to see each other do well. On fire for wanting to see a loved one that's down in the dumps come back up out of the dumps. A fire for wanting to help somebody in a time of need. A fire for wanting to have some help somebody that's saddened. A fire for wanting to help somebody that needs to be helped. I'm going to tell you right now, if we could surround this church with people that were of the brethren, that had charity and fervent love for each other, I promise you, this church would be on fire.
Yeah.
Because we care one for another. We care that Myrtle might be going through a bad time. We care that Brother Bob might need our prayers. We care that Brother Carl's going through some bad times. We care that Miss Mary Reinhardt passed away. We care that little Dakota's now with the Lord. We care. We've got to show that we care.
Yes.
You are part of a family. And because we're part of a family, we've got to act like a family. I'm so thankful I belong to a church that acts like a family, that really cares. Every time I hear a visitor come, Brother Coolidge, they say, the one thing I like about your church is they really look like they love each other.
Yes.
Your challenge tonight is never to lose that love, never to lose that care, never to lose the realization that we are truly a family. You might say, well, Brother Dave, that's easy to say for a preacher. No, it isn't. Because there's many preachers that wouldn't want to spend time with their family. I'm thankful that I've got one that does. I'm thankful that I've got a preacher that has taught us to love and care for each other. It seems like such a simple thing. But it's one of the most difficult things that a church has to do is to learn to be family. They've got to have love one for another. They've got to have that love. You say, well, I don't know how to get it. It's all right. You don't have to worry about it. Let God give it to you.
Yeah.
1 Peter chapter 3. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful. Be courteous. Listen to this now. Please listen to this. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise, blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. Understand this. If you continuously eye for an eye your brethren, eventually your eye is going to get poked out too. If you continue, the cycle of being mean's got to stop somewhere. I'm thankful that in this church, we don't have a lot of cycles of meanness. I'm so thankful in this church, we don't have a lot of backbiting. We don't have a lot of going back and forth. The challenge, this is preventative medicine tonight. This is something that I don't want us to ever get into, a spot where we're afraid to come to church because we're worried about somebody poking our eyes out. We're worried about somebody pulling our teeth out. I'm glad I can come to a church where I don't have to worry about that because I'm among family. Not only does a family have love, A family has forgiveness.
Yes.
In James chapter 5, please turn there quickly. In James chapter 5, starting in verse 7, the Bible says, be patient, therefore, family. Family, please be patient unto the coming of the Lord. He might not come tomorrow, although he could. But maybe he doesn't come for another 20 years. No man knoweth the hour. So if we don't know when he's coming, I think we ought to be in our best behavior. It says, be patient, therefore, family, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, family, lest ye be condemned. Not condemned to losing your salvation, condemned among your family. Behold, the judge standeth before the door.
Yeah.
Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, we count our family happy when they endure. We count them happy. Ye have heard of the patience of Job. I'm going to tell you right now, I've known lots of people inside this church house that have had the patience of Job. And have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. I'm going to tell you right now, folks, the best thing that we can have for each other besides love is forgiveness. I'll fail you eventually. And most of you, I've already failed in one way or another. I'm human. That's just my nature. And I'm more human than most of you. Understand this. When I fail you, you ought to be ready to forgive. Because you're my family. I expect no forgiveness of the world. I expect no forgiveness of people that aren't of my family, but I expect forgiveness here.
Yes.
When the preacher messes up, I swear to you, he ought to be forgiven. What's sad is we've seen too many people walk out those back doors because they have no forgiveness in their hearts because they're not part of the family.
Yeah.
You know what's amazing to me? The good thing about families is that they have communication. Some of them. And if you don't have communication in your family, bless God, get some. Because in this family, if the preacher upsets you, let's get some communication. Because I promise you, what's in your mind running rampant is not the same thing that was in that man's mind when he made you upset.
Amen.
And in my mind, I don't want to upset any of you. I love you with all my heart. So if I say something that bothers you, glory to God, come to me. Because I promise you, I did not mean any harm. In your lives, you're going to have times when you say things that your mouth is an open sepulcher, nasty smelling. Doesn't matter how much you brush your teeth, only foul's coming out. But understand this, when you're in a family, we're going to overlook some things because in this family, we have forgiveness. And I'm so thankful that I'm in a church that not only has great love for one another, but also a great amount of forgiveness. And that forgiveness, of course, is just spurred on by love. Now, of course, I don't want people to run around doing everything they want to do because they know we're going to give them forgiveness. But you know what's funny about that? No matter how much your family does against you, what are they still? They're still your family. No matter how bad they are, no matter how far they go, they are still your family. And you still love them no matter what. You can't get around it. You cannot get around it. You are required as a Christian to love one another and have forgiveness because that's what God has. Not only do you need to have love and you need to have forgiveness, I love this. You need to have unity.
Yep.
Unity. Now, what makes unity? Seems like adversity makes unity, always. It seems like when everybody's against Bethel, that's when we're going to be strongest.
Yep.
There ain't no way you're going to get out of that land, preacher. Yeah, that's what I want to hear. I love the underdog.
Yep.
There's no way you're going to raise $1.8 million. It's funny. What's the difference? I hear all the time, we can't afford $1.8 million. Okay, what can we afford? Can we afford $50,000? Can we afford $200,000? We can afford a shed out there right now, about a shed. But I got news for you. We've got a breadwinner in our family. We've got a breadwinner in our family. He brings home the bacon. And when daddy brings home the bacon, he's going to get us a house built.
Amen.
See, we worry too much about what we can do. All God says is bring what you have. The Lord says, bring what you have. How many of you ever taken your kids to the store and all they got on them is a dollar and they want something that's worth 10 and you didn't cough up the 9? Uh-huh. I've done it lots of times. Tiffany's got eyes this big. And she goes like this. The pack of gum that she can afford is turned into a toy worth $20 just like that. But Dad wants to provide for his family. He wants to provide. And I promise you, this house is not our last house. And the breadwinner someday for his family is going to come through and bring us the money. He's going to bring us the money. Well, what if we have to sign loan papers? So what? I wonder if our breadwinner can afford to pay the loan. What kind of God do you serve? I serve one that has a pretty big checkbook. I love how we put limits on our dad. I'm going to tell you right now, my son believes I'm the strongest man ever. I'm not. I know that. But understand this. When kids get into arguments, my dad's better than your dad. Yeah. Let me tell you something. My argument, my dad is better than any other dad.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you right now, he desires not only love and forgiveness, he wants unity in his house. Turn to Psalm 133. I am so thankful I'm in a house that has unity. I'm so thankful that I'm in a church that we're all pulling the same rope. Look in verse 1 of Psalm 133. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren, our family, to dwell together in unity. I'm so thankful we're all pulling the same rope. I'm so thankful we're all going the same direction. I'm so thankful we all want to support missionaries. I'm so thankful we all want to have the school do well. I'm so thankful that we all want to see people saved. I'm so thankful that we're all going the same way. Because how wonderful and how happy it is when the brethren are dwelling together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. What's fantastic is, you want a happy preacher? Do you want a happy preacher?
Yeah.
Do you want a happy preacher?
Yeah.
Then let's have unity.
Amen.
Let's have unity. Let's get behind the man of God, hold his arms up, and have unity in our house.
Amen.
Because I got news for you. The only he gets his orders from our Heavenly Father.
Yes.
That's where he gets his orders from. Well, I don't agree with him. Take it up with God, dummy.
Right.
Apparently you're closer to him than he is. I mean, I answer my question. Is he our shepherd?
Yes.
Well, if he's our shepherd, then he's closer to God than you are. Makes sense, right? God chose him. He anointed him to be our man of God. He's our man of God. If we're going to have unity, we got to stand behind our man of God. Seems to me pretty black and white.
Amen.
Understand this. The Lord will take care of it.
Amen.
The Lord, our daddy, will take care. Just let's be in unity.
Yes.
Let's have love. Let's have forgiveness. Let's have unity. Look at Matthew chapter 23 real quickly. I like this myself. One of my biggest pet peeves I'm going to address in this verse right here. You'll have to forgive me later because I've already preached about forgiveness and love. That's why I did that. Verse 8 says, but be ye not called rabbi, for one is your master. Did you hear me? Be not called rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye your brethren. Where does that put you? Right with me. Among the brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth. So when you call some priest father, you just did one against the Bible. I don't, what you tell, you make it up all you want to, brother, but there it sits right in our scripture. Believe the scripture or don't. Don't call anybody on this earth father, for one is your father, which is in heaven. One of my biggest pet peeves is when a preacher calls himself reverend. The Reverend David Ballard. I revere no man upon this earth except my Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ.
Yes.
You can't honor a preacher any more than by calling him preacher.
Amen.
Honest to goodness, you can't.
You're right.
And I'm going to tell you right now, I love being called brother. I love the fact that I'm surrounded by people that call me brother because they're part of my family. And understand this, Andrew, don't ever feel that you're less than me because you're my brother. Amen. And the Lord is the one that's above us. That's the end of the line right there. And it doesn't matter where you're from. It doesn't matter what you've done, where you've been, what you're going to do. We are all on the same playing field. We are all brothers and sisters in Christ. This is where we are. That's where Christ is. There is no man that goes in between us. There is, it's us and Jesus Christ. That's our leap. I'm so thankful to be in a family, in a church family that knows that nobody is greater than anybody else. I'm so thankful to be in a place where we know that we're not better. We know that we belong in this family. Not only love, forgiveness, and unity, I'm so thankful I can go to my family for strength. There's times when you need strength. Man, I'm telling you, in this day and age, it's getting to the point. I don't know how much longer we're going to make it. And preacher, we talk all the time about how many tragedies have come through here. Yeah. Yet this morning, the first song was so filled with praise. And I'm not talking about the touchy-feely charismatic type of praise. Yeah, I'm talking about you could sense that the Holy Spirit was here giving us a hug this morning.
Everything's all right in my father's house.
Because our family needed it. Bobby, one of the greatest things I look forward to when I see you is the fact that when he sees me, stand up. Don't be afraid. We start out like this.
And we end like this.
Why? Because he's my family. He's my brother. And I love him. And there's days when, boy, I needed somebody. You know, I just one of those days, preacher, where it seemed like every wall was getting closer and they were too high to jump. And it just seemed like the whole world was, it just couldn't make it. I'm so thankful that none of you have ever faced that. But know this, when I faced it, I was able to go to my family. And my family was able to help me with strength that you just can't get from outside the family. Don't go to the world for strength, right, Miss D, because the world doesn't care about you. Your family cares. Don't go outside to the movie theaters to find strength and comfort because there's no comfort there. Don't go outside to the alcohol and don't go outside to the drugs to try to find comfort and peace because there's no comfort and peace there. Don't go outside of this church house to go and try to find your strength because this is where your strength is, within your family. Because as a family, we really want to see each other succeed. I'm going to tell you, I need to embarrass him because he's never here. When Eddie left, I was ticked off. Hey, I'll admit it. He's my brother, and I didn't want him to go. You get mad at me all you want to. He can sing, and I love singing next to him up there. I've sounded terrible ever since. Don't you agree with me? I want him to succeed.
Yes.
He's my brother.
Yes.
He's my family. And I don't care how far away he goes. I don't care of what avenue he takes down. No matter what I think or no matter what I thought, I want him to succeed because he's my brother.
Yes. Amen.
And I've got news for you. You ought to want everybody in this room to succeed because they are your brother or sister. I'm so thankful I belong to a church that desires this church to succeed, desires their family to go forward. I'm so thankful I'm part of that because I'm going to tell you right now, Bethel, there's churches out there. They don't want you to succeed. Can you believe that? They don't want their brother or sister to go forward. Man alive, I hope we all go forward.
Yes.
Good night. All the successes that I could name of the people in this room, the leaps and bounds that they have come, I'm so thankful that I'm part of a church where people are succeeding and we are trying to help them succeed. Let me ask you a question. Do any of you remember the first message I ever preached here? Please don't raise your hands because I really don't want you to remember it. I'm going to be real honest with you. I can't believe I'm here. The Lord should have laughed at me and just moved me on. But you know what? My family had a desire for me to succeed. And I dare say you prayed for me. And I dare say that you loved me. And I dare say that you tried to hold me up and say, you know what, Brother Dave, I know your preaching stunk, but I really believe you got it in you. I really believe if you use the Lord, that if you let the Lord work through you, I really believe that you can do something great because of the Lord, not because of you, but I really believe it's inside. You know what's great? I don't think I've done anything great yet, but I am grateful of this. I am grateful that I've got a family that loves me, a family that cares about me, and a family that loves to give me the strength that I need to go on every single day. Yeah. Understand this. It's great preaching to say, the Lord will give me my strength. That's great preaching, but I got news for you folks. I love it when He works through you to give me that strength. I love getting strength from my family. You can make it. You can make it. Just keep on, Brother Dave. You can make it. Thank you for giving me strength. And folks, thank you for giving each other strength and love and care. Not only strength, this is what I like. I like this one. This one, I like them all, actually. I like the fact that my family is unashamed to be in my family. Look at Hebrews chapter 2. I'm so thankful that my family is not ashamed of me. Hebrews chapter 2. Starting in verse 10 tonight, the Bible says, "For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory." Who are we talking about there? We're talking about Daddy. We're talking about Jesus Christ. "To make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctifieth are all of the same family." We're all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Yeah. Woo! Yeah, I'm going to tell you right now, if Jesus ain't ashamed of me, I ain't going to be ashamed of you. Yeah. I am so thankful that you're part of my family. I'm excited every time I walk into this church. I can't believe we had to cancel two times. Glory to God, you better stop the snow. I don't like missing church. Yeah. Because this is where I can come to a place where people aren't ashamed of me. Right. Amen. You ever walked into a place where people are ashamed of you? I've been there. I've been to a place where I walked in and I hear this. I've been to a place where people looked down their nose at me. I've been to a place where people said, "That's the degenerate right there." I've been to a place. I know my hair was long. I know I had an earring in my ear. I understand all those things. But you understand this. No matter what I looked like, no matter where I was, my Savior was never ashamed of me. Oh, it may have grieved him in his heart, but he's never ashamed to call me his child. And you understand this, Christian. You understand this in this church right now. There's never a person in this church ever one time that we're ashamed of here. And I'm thankful that I belong to a church where no matter who you are, no matter where you came from, you listen to me, Christian, there ought to be nobody in this church that is ashamed of anybody else to call them brother or sister. There never ever be a time where you walk on the other side of the aisle because you don't like the person that's on the other side. Amen. Because I got news for you. Your Savior never walked on the other side of the aisle. Your Savior came down and got you. See the back of his head? You know what's there? No hair. That rhymes. That's very fair. You should have rode a mare. When he first came here, that's the best he's done in months. when he came here, listen to me now, please listen to me. I don't want to offend anybody. When he first came here, I dare say that some of you were ashamed of him. The question I have for you is, who did you used to be? I remember a day when people were very ashamed of me. I hated that position. And you know what? It drove me to want to be worse, not better. It drove me to want to do worse things, not better things. And when I first met Andrew, I saw me. And I wanted to make sure that I was never ashamed of him. I'm so thankful I belong to a church that we're not ashamed of each other.
Amen.
I'm so thankful that no matter what, Brian, you are welcome to be one of the most upheld members in this church. I don't care if you just got saved this morning.
Yep.
I'm never ashamed to call him my brother.
Amen.
Never.
It's true, though.
And I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that when Jesus looked down, he saw you masquerading here. He saw, let's put it where it's at. You were masquerading. You may be new in your heart. And I'm going to tell you right now, the Lord looked down. He saw you, but you know what he said? I'm still not ashamed of you. And I'm so thankful that not only is he not ashamed of us, he makes us one with him. Joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Joint heirs. I'm not talking about somebody that he says, well, my brother Dave is my child, but I really don't talk about him at Thanksgiving. He's the one that's a ditch digger. I don't like him to be around, really, because my family may have to meet him someday. Can you see you going into heaven? Please envision this with me. The Bible talks about heaven celebrates when just one gets saved. It didn't say who. It just said just one. Just pick them out of air, Eddie. It doesn't matter who it is. Just pick that person out of air. When Josh Porter got saved, all of heaven shouted.
Right.
This morning when Brian got saved, all of heaven shouted.
Right.
Not only is he unashamed of you, he holds you up.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm going to fly. Okay, good. He holds you up. He thinks you are great. Not only is he not ashamed, Brother Bob, he loves you and holds you up as just like him. Well, what does he, doesn't he magnify his word above his very name? Isn't Jesus famous all over the world? Isn't Jesus the Savior of all men? He considers us brothers. The Savior looks down at you. It says, you are my brother. And I love you. And I am never going to be ashamed of you. And I could simply go quickly to, are we ever ashamed of him? But I'm going to tell you, I'm just so thankful he's not ashamed of me.
Yes. Yes.
All the dirty, rotten things that I've done. And he's not ashamed of me. As a matter of fact, if he could have named me before he went to the cross, I believe he would have. I believe he'd have said, I died for Brother Dave. I died for him. If he could have named your name and it wouldn't have taken up all the volumes of the Bible, if he could have named your name, he said, Brian, I died for you. Not only because I'm not ashamed of you, because I love you and I hold you up as my own. I'm so thankful I belong to a church that's not ashamed of me. And you ought to be thankful that you belong to a church that's not ashamed of you.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
And then the last one, I want you to turn to 1 Thessalonians. I like this. This verse right here I read at every funeral. Not one have I ever not read this at. The Bible says, but I would not have it to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Those are the ones that have gone on before us. That you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Number 6 in a family. Oh, I like this. Being in a family is eternal. Brother Rod, I couldn't stop being your brother if I wanted to.
Yeah.
You can talk about it all you want to, about how you might have somebody in your family that maybe you don't really get along with, but it still doesn't take away the fact that they're your family. And I think what's awesome is, Bethel, we get to spend eternity together as a family. There's never going to be a day when we don't see each other. Golly. I know it's crazy, preacher, but I love seeing Bethel. I love seeing Bethel.
Yes.
I love seeing Brother Carl. I love seeing Miss Mary. I love seeing Brother Dale. I love seeing the family of Bethel. I love coming to church and seeing them walk through the doors. I love watching your mouths try to get through the words on wonderful grace of Jesus because we're going so fast. Please slow it down, brother. Good night. My teeth are coming out. I love the fact that we're going to get to spend an eternity with no teeth coming out. All the amens, and you don't know who has dentures in this room right now. I'm going to tell you right now, folks, I am so excited about Bethel Baptist Church. We're only a couple hundred people, I understand that, but there's not a better couple hundred people in the whole wide world. I'm so thankful that we live in a church, preacher, that is loving. I'm so thankful that we're in a church that's forgiving. I'm so thankful in a church that's caring. And I'm so thankful, glory to God, that we're in a church that's unashamed of us. I'm so thankful that we're in a church that's unashamed of Christ. I'm so thankful that we're in a church that we get to walk and talk about Jesus all we want to. I'm so thankful that no matter who you are, what you look like, what you smell like, where you've been, I'm so thankful that you're welcome here. And glory to God, I'm so thankful that we're going to get to do this forever.
Amen.
So just a hint, and we'll pray. If there's somebody in here that you don't like, you better get it fixed quick. Because you got eternity to face that person. Whew. That's a long time.
Amen.
But I'm telling you right now, I cannot wait for the ride. Bethel, thank you. Thank you for being my family. Because we sure do love you.
Yes.
And I think we've got the greatest church
Yes. In
the whole world.
Yes.
Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for the opportunity that it was to preach tonight. Lord, I'm so thankful that you love us through all the craziness and everything that we do, and Lord, you have every right to be ashamed of us. Lord, you have every right to turn your back on us. Lord, you have every right to call us that stepchild that you really don't want. But Lord, instead, you call us heirs. You call us joint heirs. More than that, you call us brothers and sisters. Lord, I think that you want us to be a family. I think that you want us to care about each other. And Lord, I'm so thankful that I belong to a church that does just that. We love each other and we care about each other. We forgive each other. We get strength from each other. We have unity with each other, and I'm so thankful, Lord, that we're not ashamed of each other. Lord, please be with us tonight in a special way. Please comfort the mourning families that are in this room right now. I just believe there's lots of them. Lord, I especially pray for Brother Eddie. Be with him. He's got a great task in front of him, Lord, that I believe that only you can get him through. Lord, help us tonight. Help us tonight to give strength to those that need strength. Love to those who need love. Unity to those who need unity. And Lord, always, always let us love one another and always hold each other up. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Preacher.